The pirate many years ago with that song. It's a great message. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. Amen. Let's stand if you're able. Let's read from God's Word. Start with verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in what? All his ways. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. And I pray, God, that you guide my thoughts, guide my mouth, Lord. Give me that unction from the Holy Spirit. Lord, we all have needs tonight. And especially this is an important part. Help us to get a hold of this tonight. And if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, Lord, I pray that tonight they wouldn't put it off any longer, but they'd come to Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever made a decision you regretted? Yeah. With the way the world is, do you think sometimes life seems so complicated that you don't have the capacity to handle it all? Any leader who has any amount of success, you'll find that person surround themselves with others to gain advice from. Especially if you find people that specialize in certain fields. I mean, I remember that's what made President Reagan such an effective president. He surrounded himself with great advisors. Now, you may not be running a country, though you probably think you could run it better than it's doing now, which is probably true. But the pressures and the pressing needs that seem to be coming at us from all sides, that tells me we need someone far greater than ourselves to handle this world and handle the stuff that's involved in our own lives in this world. I mean, think about it. Just generally speaking, you got a job. Probably a spouse, maybe a family, and or maybe you're all alone. And you know, I always feel sorry for. I was with a lady who yesterday we stopped by in Moses Lake to see an old friend's wife that passed away a year ago, Brother Danny Fountain, pastor friend, and his wife Judy, and she was thrilled to see us. And it's hard; she doesn't have anybody to talk with, you know, and to throw things off of, to, you know, because by yourself, it's hard to get your good focus. You need another advisor, you know. So anyway, maybe you're in that situation. Maybe you got a lot of bills, certain needs, demands, health issues, loved ones who don't know the Lord. I mean, friends in need. I mean, the list goes on. I'm not trying to depress you here tonight. I'm just saying sometimes there's a lot of complications in life, especially in this digital world. We got so many things pressing on us. And all the time, as a believer, you're trying to please the Lord. While all these necessities call upon you and seem to be pressing on you, and then the world pulls on you. We live in a world where common sense is rare. Never in my lifetime have I seen it so rare as it is. I could talk this morning. People think communism is great. I mean, good night. People believe murdering babies has to do with the right to choose. Ethics and morals are not even considered in this society. People believe spanking children is wrong. So how will they learn to do right? They won't, you know. We have people in Congress who believe to pay for their expensive proposals, all the government has to do is print more money. I mean, there's some in Congress today that don't think they have enough brains to sign their name, and I'm not exaggerating. Okay. Wisdom, therefore, is a valuable commodity, especially today. If each of us could acquire wisdom, we could solve a lot of our problems and difficulties. True? Yeah. But how do you get wisdom? It isn't an... This may shock you, but wisdom is not a natural thing in our makeup. So I've seen people that are talented. Yeah, I've seen people that are smart, but then don't have any wisdom. So where do you get it? And I think when we get through with this tonight in the scripture here, I think it'll answer a lot of the questions why there's such a void of wisdom in this world, more than ever in America's history. The old preacher A.W. Tozer said this. I like reading his stuff. He says, wisdom is the ability to devise perfect ends and to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. Wisdom sees everything in focus, each in proper relation to all, and is thus able to work toward predestined goals with flawless precision. If you think about that, that scares you to death. So you wait, preacher, you're talking about achieve those ends by perfect means? I mean, how can we accomplish that? It's right here in the Bible. What's what I love about the Word? It doesn't just cover doctrine. It covers practical life, too. It covers birth to death and eternity after that. There's nothing this book doesn't cover. Praise God. I'm thankful He gave it to us. Verse 5, look at this. If any of you lack wisdom, that's me. What do? Let him ask of God, that it giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's a powerful verse. You probably read through this chapter before and skipped right over that. But man, there's a lot said there. Think about it. Wisdom, simply put, you want to be wise, it begins with God. That's where it starts. God is the source of wisdom. Remember I said it's not natural in our makeup. And to have God, you first have to have faith in God. You cannot gain wisdom if you do not believe in its source. You hear me? You cannot have wisdom if you first don't believe in its source. That'll tell you a lot about what's going on in this world today. Evolution. You wonder why they call that science. I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other day. It might have been Brother Vernon. He was talking about creation. You know, when they landed on the moon, I'm going to give this update to people because a lot of people don't know. You always hear that thing, one giant step. What is that? What's that saying? Small step for man. Time, one giant. Anyway. And they cut it off. You never hear what else was said. And I did when I watched it. My mom woke me up in the middle of the night, and I was 1969 in Kansas. It was almost midnight. They're about to step on the moon. So I remember hearing all of it. But you don't hear about the rest of what's said after that. You remember they had that new lunar, anybody seen pictures of the lunar module? They come down, it had these giant pads. And they did that because by evolution's standard, the moon was so many millions of years old, and so they thought the moon dust would be about 50 foot deep. So they put these giant pads so they wouldn't sink clear down in. And when they hit, they almost jolted them. And then so then they stopped over, and he said that one giant step, and the next thing he says is, it's solid. It was about an inch and a half deep. They did the same calculations they did to say it was so many million years old, and it was no more than 8,000 to 10,000 years old. And it's probably less than that. Now, they're babbling little idiots. If they'd listened to the Bible, if they had their trust in God, they'd had wisdom to make right calculations. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Romans 11:33, I love this verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The craziness in America right now is due to its ungodliness and lack of knowledge of God. The more the country turns away from God, the more people will choose to destroy this country, thinking they're helping. Hold your place here. Look in Proverbs 14:6. I discovered, been in this Bible for years, but I was preaching a section through Proverbs last year on certain words. And look in verse 6, just Proverbs 14, verse 6, just notice this. Plenty of these scorners in politics today. It says, a scorner seeketh wisdom, but what? Findeth it not. There's no intelligence up there. They think they're doing great things. They think, oh, this is wonderful. And it's foolishness. It's corruption. Good example, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed themselves from within. They were in the most fruitful area of Palestine and destroyed themselves. Days of Noah, we could go on. The simple thing is, if you want wisdom, you simply have to ask God. He said, let him ask of God. It's what the Bible says. Yeah. You say, well, that seems so elementary. Yeah, because it's truth. Don't make it hard. I mean, sin complicates the pathway. My wife, I hope I don't make a mess here. Here's the average person, and then they're born, and this starts coming in, all the dirt in the world. What looked so clear and pretty before, that's what they're seeing. No wonder they can't see anything. When you get saved, and God starts cleaning this up, amen? We go back to that clear thing so things look clear. You want, listen to me, every believer here tonight, you've got wisdom just by being saved. You trusted the Lord. There's greater wisdom simply by asking God for it. God gives in abundance. He says he giveth to all men how much? This is the one time it's good to be liberal. Liberally. I mean, I need. How many need a lot of wisdom? Some of you don't know that. Okay, yeah, we need it. And he says he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I mean, how much wisdom does God have? All of it. I mean, that is a great, great truth. Notice, God doesn't give wisdom partially or to certain people. If you come to the Lord, he can give you wisdom. All men, liberally. He covers all fields of service. God knows everything. You teenagers, you want wisdom? Ask God for it. And you'll give... The only frustration about getting wisdom from God is you'll see the rest of the world how blinded they are. And it will frustrate you. But he covers all fields of service: finance, electronics, child rearing, mechanics, computer tech, plumbing, building, business, politics, you name it. Because God created it. The word upbraideth means to reproach or to accuse. See, God doesn't give wisdom to you and then say, okay, now here's what I want in return. No, he doesn't do that. He upbraideth not, he just gives freely. You say, preacher, that seems too simple. Really, faith is pretty simple. We make it hard. See, the abundance of wisdom I liberally, will help you when you face things you didn't foresee. God will give you direction. If you just got enough wisdom to deal with a certain issue you're facing, you wouldn't be prepared for some surprising things that you don't know that are around the corner. But who knows what's around the corner? God does. And he'll give you the wisdom to face it. You ever go to a store to get just enough, and then you get back and find out you didn't get what you needed? You didn't get enough? You know what I'm saying? Whatever, it's groceries or something for the building or whatever. That's frustrating, isn't it? Because in our mind, we think about the immediate, but God thinks what's down the line too. So that's what's great about having God's wisdom to deal with issues that come up. When David defeated the Philistines, this one time, I love it, he asked before whether God was with him, and God says, when you hear the sound in the mulberry trees, then go. I love that. I've heard a guy preach a message on that whole thing. So they were sitting there, and suddenly the mulberry trees started rustling, and they said, let's go, man. So God's with them. If God's with you, you're going to win. Someone said, most of us go through life praying a little, planning a little, jockeying for position, hoping but never being quite certain of anything, and always secretly afraid that we will miss the way. Yeah, that's how we are. The best thing is to understand this next point, verse 6. But let him ask in what? Faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Here's the key. You ask for God's wisdom and then you don't trust him when he gives it. Faith is always the key ingredient. You hear, when I preach, faith comes up all the time because the Bible's full of faith. It's all about faith. And so the key ingredient when it comes to anything having to do with God, you just got to have faith to believe him. Say, well, I'm scared I'm going to make the wrong decision. You probably will, but if you prayed about it, then trust God to give you direction. Then step out and go. You know, I've noticed even when I'm giving the gospel to someone and their questions come up, God brings to mind the answers and answers the distractions. You just got to trust God and go for it. You know, a lot of us, we ask God for wisdom to provide it, and then we question if he will provide. What's missing there? Faith. Gideon, I love saying the word, studying about Gideon. He's a nobody hiding in a corner, the least of his family among the tribes that are the least of the tribes. And he's hiding in the corner, and God comes to him. He's trying to protect some foods, knows they'll have some for the family. And so he's sneaking around, and God comes to him and says, hey, thou mighty man of valor. He looks up. Who are you talking to? And then we see the growth in Gideon's life. How God, he goes through tests, and you say, well, man, he threw out the fleece. What a wimp. He threw it out twice. Listen to me. He was testing God because God was testing him. But when he finally went through the tests, then you see the faith of Gideon. How many of you would have joined that 300 to take on 145,000 Midianites? And you read there where Gideon has no doubt. He has no hesitation. He goes. When his faith goes into action and we look and say, man, that Gideon, man, he is a wise guy. You know, because God gave him wisdom because of his faith. Yeah. Any faith that must be supported by the evidence of the senses is not real faith. Yeah. See, faith must move without hesitancy. He says nothing wavering. Not, listen to me, he doesn't say something wavering or a few areas that are wavering, but zilcho. Nothing wavering. I mean, in Kalispell, we live close to Flathead Lake. You got the ocean here. Flathead's the largest freshwater lake west of Mississippi, so it's huge. And it gets some storms on that lake. When the wind comes up, they say, don't go on the lake. Is it? In a lot of ways, when I first moved there, and you get on the east side of the lake going, it looks like you're in the Puget Sound. The lake's so huge. It's like 10 miles wide and 40 miles long. So it's massive. But, you know, the waves come up. It's enough sense that you don't want to get on the waves. Jesus tells Peter, come on out. The waves are coming into the boat. They've been paddling to save the boat. Jesus walks on the water and Peter said, can I come out? And he does. Nothing wavering. He said, wait a minute, the wavering's going on here. Well, Peter didn't let the wavering defeat him from stepping out of the boat. Now, I know you're ahead of me and say, well, he sunk later. Yeah, okay, you're always those one or, you know. But I admire Peter for getting out of the boat where none of the other guys did that. And initially, Peter's faith is great because he walks on the water and not allowing the wavering to affect him. It does later, and then he sinks. But that's what he's talking about. Your faith, if you want wisdom and you trust God and ask for wisdom, then you got to trust him to give you wisdom. I can't do nothing for you on that if you don't want to trust the Lord. When you pray, ask for wisdom. Don't get up from prayer and saying, well, I wonder if he give it to me. Wisdom from God will come when we ask in faith. That's what he says. Do you believe the Bible? Come on, do you believe the Bible? Well, if he says that and you ask, what do you get? Wisdom. So step out and go. And wisdom comes when faith has no stipulations. Oh, yes. This is an important part. This is a continuation of the thought. Look in verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive any of the thing of the Lord. What man? What man? Help me. Yeah, the man that wavers, okay? And he says, let not that man shall receive what? Anything. Nothing's going to come to that man. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. All of his ways. I want you to see, I'm wanting you to get this. Wisdom, see, comes when faith has no stipulations. You cannot have faith while you're trying to cover your ground while supposedly trusting God. That's what's called double-mindedness. I've thought of this. It sounds a little weird and crude. This makes me think of some of those old Japanese horror flicks. Like a two-headed monster, Mothra and Monster X, you know. I mean, it's a two-headed monster when you're not trusting God. And that scares you to death. Okay, you're with me. You say, those movies don't scare me. I may not scare you. But I'm saying it's a freak that says, I believe God, and then you don't believe God. You know, you got to trust God and nothing else. You say, well, that's easy for you to say, preacher. It's what the Bible says. And God does what he says, does he not? Yeah. A divided allegiance puts God as the backup plan. He cannot be your backup plan. He's got to be the plan. This kind of person usually expends all of his or her solutions, and then after that doesn't work, they call out to God for help. Double-minded. Uh-oh, we got that monster X again. Okay. Old professor I had years ago, Homer Kent, he said this, such a doubter tends to view himself as a victim of his circumstances. Rather than a participant, I like this, rather than a participant in the life and program of God who controls our circumstances. I like to be going along for the ride and then come back and testify, man, look what God did. And I was involved because I was there. And that's kind of what, you look at the great men of faith in the Bible that Hebrews 11 talks about. I mean, Daniel and the three Hebrews. You say, man, their faith was great. And Daniel, man, what a wise. Well, he asked for God's wisdom and God gave it to him. And able to do incredible things. And he went along for the ride and everything he said, it was God. See, the double-minded approach never works. He says he's unstable in all of his ways. Here's our God. He expects you to trust him or not trust him. You can't do both. If you want your life to be like some two-headed monster, then keep stipulating how you want God to do things. Okay. Some try to solve marriage problems through double-mindedness. Try to solve their finances through double-mindedness. Try to solve their business ventures through double-mindedness. Try to raise their children through double-mindedness. Try to do their schedules, double-mindedness. Brother Hardy years ago, I remember using his illustration. He says, a lot of people run their lives like a chest of drawers. Well, this drawer is my finances. This drawer, that's my family. This drawer is my entertainment. Oh, and this drawer down here, this is God's. The only way it's going to work is if the whole dresser is God's. Some even do this with their church life. That's why they're inconsistent. Here is my time, here's God's time. Double-mindedness. We got the monster coming up again. Years ago, I interned in Galveston, Texas, church there. And that's an island on the Gulf of Mexico. And I used to go down to the seawall. They had a highway along the seawall there because it's a pretty flat area. And if they didn't have the seawall, when hurricanes came through the pass, it would just flood the whole town. 1903, they built the seawall because the whole town got destroyed. Anyway, so I go on the seawall. They had benches along the sea, and I go in there in the evening. It'd be a nice, cool breeze, which is wonderful in the summer because there's no such thing as a cool breeze. Anyway, coming off the ocean, I have my devotions up there, and it was calm and peaceful when that gentle flow of the waves just push, push. But I didn't do it on the nights of the storms. If you did it then, it was kind of frightening and unpredictable. If your life's kind of frightening and unpredictable, it's probably because you keep trying to fix things on your own. And then want God to step in and fix the mess you've made. If you look at this world right now, it's destroying itself. Not just this country, the whole world is. And I don't have any good news for you on that. It's just going to keep getting worse until Jesus comes. Yeah. But you know, in the midst of all this, when you come to the Lord, ask him for wisdom, he'll give you understanding of the times and give you peace about it. I can rejoice in that stuff. Because that means my Lord's coming sooner. And my Lord's still in charge. He's got it well in hand. As a Christian, I see Christians, man, lives like this, and they keep trying to solve their problems. If you're one of those, are you tired of that? Do you get frustrated with that? You got Brother Reasoner's candidate, and his dad and I are good friends. I love this story. You might have heard it. All the reindeer people when he first went up there. This one story that's one of my favorites. He was didn't know where he was going. You know, he said that they're a mobile people. And he gets up, you know, it's a long story, but he finally gets across this river to get to the reindeer people and to get on this train. And they say, where do you want to go, Asia or Europe? You know, and he didn't know. He says, well, I don't know. And he gets jump on this train, and there's other couple guys from the church back in Moscow with him. And they, I mean, it's the middle of nowhere. You talk about desolate and cold. And they get on this train, and they drop them off at this spot where the reindeer people are supposed to be. And there's nothing there. Now, everything he's doing is by faith. That's what I love about Brother Reasoner Sr., and his son's probably got the same stuff. But he's been a man of great faith. And he goes there by faith. He says, Lord, what, you know, he got on his knees. And the guys were with him are kind of complaining. They're getting cold. There's nothing here. He says, Lord, what are we doing here? And there was this big crate or something sitting there. And sitting there, it was the only thing that was there. I mean, there's not anything growing. You're up in the Arctic, you know. And so this crate, finally they lift this crate up, and there's a guy in there. He gets up, he says, are you the holy man? He goes, holy man? He says, yes, my father told me 20 years ago to be here on this day that there'd be a holy man here that would tell me about God. He led the man to the Lord. And then later, God directed him to get to the reindeer people. Now, is that weird? It's not. Well, it seems weird, but God's behind it all. You just follow God, and He'll take you exactly where you need to be, even if you don't know where that seems to be right. But you just step out in faith and trust God. If you ask for wisdom, it's going to happen when you act by faith. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, help us to gain from this truth. It's very simple, but because of our old flesh, it's sometimes hard for us to see. Lord, just help us to grow in our faith with you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.